culture.
Musicals and money. Sing it from the rooftops. The arbitrage between Broadway and the West End.
When Hades Town, a musical that sets the myth of Orpheus and Eurydice to New Orleans-style jazz, was produced in 2019 and opened on Broadway, it took an initial investment of $11.5 million. Since then, American consumer prices have risen by more than 20%. But one producer of Hades Town has estimated it would cost $18 million to put on today, a rise of 57%. Talk about hellish inflation. Mounting a show in New York has become so astronomically expensive that it is there, where the modern musical was born, that producers and investors are more afraid to take risks. Increasingly, they are looking to London, where it is unexpectedly cheaper to open musicals instead. According to documents seen by The Economist, the revival of Andrew Lloyd Webber's Sunset Boulevard, which opened on Broadway on October 20th, starring Nicole Scherzinger, formerly of the Pussycat Dolls, a band, required investors to stump up $13.5 million before the curtain could rise. The same revival's initial run in London, also starring Miss Scherzinger, at the Savoy Theatre in late 2023, took an upfront investment of just £2.3 million. That's $3 million. Operating costs told a similar story. The Broadway production was forecast to burn through $950,000 each week, nearly three times more than the West End one had. Why have theatre costs in particular spiralled so much higher of late? One reason is dearer raw materials. The price of timber, which theatre sets tend to use a lot of, has risen by some 40% since the end of 2019. Electricity costs have risen too by around 40% per kilowatt hour in New York. Yet energy costs have soared even higher in Britain, and productions on both sides of the Atlantic need timber. The biggest factor explaining the difference between New York and London is the price of labour, and in particular the effectiveness of American theatre worker unions in bargaining it up. This started during the COVID-19 pandemic. Many cite a desire to fight racial inequality as a reason for demanding better pay and working conditions, since junior technical staff with the worst deals are disproportionately from ethnic minorities. In theory, such negotiations take place between unions and representatives from the Broadway League, a trade body. Some producers, however, describe pay deals as being struck in effect between unions and theatre owners. The owners are more worried about strikes that would send their theatres dark than they are about wage costs. Strikes would force theatres to give up money from tickets they have already sold. The wage bill can simply be passed on to producers and their investors. And so salaries have continued to crescendo. Unions in London, meanwhile, are less prevalent and far less aggressive in calling for strikes. Seen from New York, the result is a bemusing degree of naivety on the part of British actors. An American producer describes congratulating one of the young stars of Next to Normal, a musical about mental health, on an outstanding performance in London, only to later find out they were being paid something like £500 a week, an unthinkably low sum for any Broadway lead. The incentives to develop new shows and revive old ones away from Broadway are growing. That is in spite of a deep bench of theatrical and technical talent, and the fact that New Yorkers tend to be more enthusiastic about musicals than just about anyone else. I know lots of producers with projects in development who are saying they'll just go to the UK, says Heather Shields, an American producer of a recent revival of Cabaret that started in London before heading to Broadway. It might be less convenient for me, but I can jump on a plane. The higher costs mean Broadway will continue to become a less attractive place to take the sort of risks that are a prerequisite for brilliant, groundbreaking theatre. Shows by the likes of Lord Lloyd Webber will always find a home there, as will those fronted by stars whose names can pull in punters. But if you want to catch the next Stephen Sondheim, it is increasingly likely that you will need to turn your back on Times Square.